In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. As we have been hearing throughout these weeks and Sundays of Great Lent, that the Church has given us these Gospels and these lessons and these saints in order to feed us, in order to energize us, in order to encourage us to really look at this fast as something that is good and necessary and critical for our spiritual lives. And throughout this fast, it has given us messages of encouragement. And so it continues today. For on this Sunday, the Church lifts up the saint, Saint Mary of Egypt. And we are going to this morning simply read her life. Now, there is a very long life, a story of her life, that is traditionally read on this past Thursday. And we will be reading this life after liturgy for those who want a very detailed account of her life. But Saint Mary of Egypt is a story of repentance. It's a story of a person who fell into the deepest and darkest and even the most egregious of sins and was confronted by God of these sins. And because she heard this message and she saw the reality of a path that her life was leading, and she became afraid and she became encouraged and she wanted to be, and she was zealous for her salvation, she lived a life of extreme repentance. So I'm going to read this life. We'll let the life speak for itself, and may we hear this message as one of encouragement for us, that no matter what sins we have committed, and no matter how many sins we have committed, and no matter how egregious they have committed, that a path of salvation is available to us through our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who said he came not into the world to destroy sinners, but so that all men can be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So let us begin. Our Holy Mother Mary was born in Egypt. She had left her parents at the age of 12 to go to Alexandria, where she spent the next 17 years in debauchery and the greatest profligacy. Living on charity and linen weaving, she nevertheless offered her body to any man, not being forced to it by dire necessity, as were so many poor women, but as though she were consumed by the fire of desire that nothing was able to appease. One day, seeing a crowd of Libyans and Egyptians moving towards the port, she followed them and set sail with them for Jerusalem, offering her body to pay for her fare. And when they arrived in the holy city, she followed the crowd that was thronging towards the Church of the Resurrection, it being the day of the Exaltation of the Cross. But when she reached the threshold of the church, an invisible force prevented her entering in spite of repeated efforts on her part, although the other pilgrims were able to go in without hindrance. Left alone in a corner of the narthex, she began to realize that it was the impurity of her life that was preventing her approaching the holy wood. She burst into tears and smote her breast, and seeing an icon of the Mother of God, made this prayer to her. O Sovereign Lady, who didst bear God in the flesh, I know that I should not dare to look upon your icon, you who are pure in soul and body, because, debauched as I am, I must fill you with disgust. But as the God born of you became man, in order to call sinners to repentance, come to my aid. Allow me to go into the church and prostrate before his cross. And as soon as I have seen the cross, I promise that I will renounce the world and all pleasures and follow the path of salvation that you will show me. She felt herself suddenly freed from the power that had held her and was able to enter the church. There she fervently venerated the Holy Cross, and then returning to the icon of the Mother of God, calling by name, declared herself ready to follow the path that the Virgin would show her. A voice replied to her from on high, "If you cross the Jordan, you will find rest." Leaving the church, she bought 3 loaves of bread with the alms a pilgrim had given her, discovered which road led to the Jordan, and arrived one evening at the church of St. John the Baptist. After having washed in the river, she received communion in the holy mysteries, ate half of one of the loaves, and went to sleep on the riverbank. The next morning, she crossed the river and lived from that time on in the desert, remaining there for 47 years without ever encountering either another human being or any animal. During the first 17 years, her clothes soon having fallen into rags, burning with heat by day and shivering with cold by night, she fed on her herbs and wild roots. But more than the physical trials, she had to face violent assaults from the passions and the memories of her sins. And throwing herself on the ground, she implored the Mother of God to come to her aid. Protected by God, who desires nothing but that the sinner should turn to Him and live, she uprooted all the passions from her heart by means of this extraordinary ascesis, and was able to turn the fire of carnal desire into a flame of divine love that made it possible for her to endure the implacable desert with joy, as though she were not in the flesh. After all these years, a holy elder called Zosimus, who, following the tradition instituted by Saint Euthymios, had gone into the desert across the Jordan for a period of the great fast, saw one day a human body with a form blackened by the sun and with hair white as bleached linen to its shoulders. And he ran after this apparition that fled before him, begging it to give him its blessing and some saving words. When he came within earshot, Mary, calling by name him whom she had never seen, revealed to him that she was a woman and asked him to throw her his cloak that she might cover her nakedness. After the urging of the monk, who was transported at having last met a God-bearing being who had attained the perfection of monastic life, the saint recounted to him with tears the story of her life and conversion. Then, having finished her account, she begged him to come the following year to the bank of the Jordan with Holy Communion. When that day arrived, Zosimus saw Mary appearing on the further bank of the river. She made the sign of the cross and crossed the Jordan, walking on the water. Having received Holy Communion, weeping, she said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." She then took leave of Zosimus, asking him to meet her the following year in the place where they had first met. When the year was past, Zosimus, going to the agreed spot, found the saint's body stretched on the ground, her arms crossed, and her face turned towards the east. His tearful emotion prevented him from noticing at once an inscription traced on the ground by the saint, which read, "Abba Zosimus, bury here the body of the humble Mary. Give what is of dust to dust after having prayed for me. I died on the first day of April, the very night of the Passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after having partaken in the Holy Eucharist." Consoled in his grief by having learned the saint's name, Zosimus was amazed to discover that she had, in several hours, covered a distance of more than 20 days' march. After having vainly tried to break up the earth with a stick, he suddenly saw a lion approaching Mary's body and licking her feet. On the orders of the elder, the beast dug a hole with its claws, in which Zosimus devoutly placed the saint's body. On his return to the monastery, he recounted the marvels that God had wrought for those who turn away from sin and move towards Him with all their hearts. From the hardened sinner that she had been, Mary has, for a great many souls crushed under the burden of sin, become a source of hope and a model of conversion. This is why the Holy Fathers have placed the celebration of her memory at the end of the great fast as an encouragement for all who have neglected their salvation, proclaiming that repentance can bring them back to God, even at the 11th hour. May this great saint, Saint Mary of Egypt, pray for us and intercede to Christ for our souls, and may we learn her lesson and live our lives in repentance and in hope and in zeal to be with our living God.